This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Shift. This is probably going to be a longer intro because I just want to say a few things. But first, I'm going to say my voice is fucked, okay, because I'm sick. And I need to be better by 8 p.m. So anyway, but that's why I sound weird and I can't breathe, so just ignore if there's any like large breaths. But before I intro this episode, I just want to say, well, firstly, that the episode is from months ago. The next three episodes, so this one and then the one with Michael and Rach, are recorded in like January and February because I was bulk recording before going on the road. And yeah, so they're just kind of in the past. So like, I do again in this episode speak as if I'm in a relationship. I'm not. But that's why. And if you want to sign up to the Patreon for the full episode or the video, it's patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. Even though these episodes, the next two are like in the past, once I get back from, because I'm going back on the road again on Sunday morning for a week and a half. But once I get back, I'm going to be taping in my new apartment, which I absolutely adore. And I have been nonstop setting it up, making it all cute. So I'm excited for that. And I'll be putting up those episodes on YouTube. Not all of it. I'll always keep all of it for the Patreon, but a good chunk of it. And so that'll be really fun. And I love, like, I just adore my new apartment. So I'm excited for that and to give it a new lease of life, you know, for the podcast. So then once I'm back, we'll be back in real time. But if you want to hear like what's going on with my life, the Patreon podcast, I was put up solos. So the most recent solo I did was from like 2.5 weeks ago or whenever like the 9th of April was. Oh God, I can't breathe. But that was in Portland and I talked a bit about the breakup. And again, there's no tea, no drama really, other than a very mature adult breakup where our goals didn't align. And yeah, we just kind of had, like, for me anyway, I'd grown the relationship, and so all very amicable. I can't say that word, amicable. It confuses me because there's a B in there, but it's like a silent B, or else I'm not pronouncing it right. I don't know. Anyway, you guys are going to message me and be like, there's no fucking B in there. What are you talking about? But yeah, so that's there. And I just talk about kind of like what I want for the future and all that stuff and how I'm like, here's the thing, like, I'm very happy with the breakup. And like, people, I didn't even like, you know, and that's the thing with our relationship. I think I was more like, even though we were quite public with a lot of stuff, we were quite private with a lot of stuff as well. And that was something like we both, you know, we're kind of on the, you know, like, how do I explain it? I don't know. Anyway, we were both just like, there were certain things we were like, oh, this is okay to talk about, this isn't. But I didn't like post about it or anything because I'm just like, it's grand. And I feel grand. And like, people message you when they find out, like, oh, are you okay? Yeah, of course I'm okay. Like, it's okay to have like a really, you know, a good relationship that ends. It doesn't mean it's like, you know, I do not regret the relationship at all. I learned so much, and that's what's kind of like exciting about this phase, because I'm in my 30s. I've never dated in my 30s, and I'm not saying like this is the thing, it's like I'm not in my 20s, like I don't want to go to a bar and like hook up with some stranger. That's not me. But it's more just that like I know what I want now, and so even if I'm dating and it's only fun, I'll be able to be like, okay, that's just fun, and kind of bounce out when it stops being fun, which I think I struggled with in my 20s. And I'm way better at kind of like just being direct and picking up on red flags, if that makes sense. And then my last relationship made me like be able to communicate and be, you know, and then it's post therapy and have a healthy relationship. So I'm also kind of excited for the future and the person I meet in the future, whenever that is, because I know what I want, and B, have been in a healthy relationship. Not just, you know, everybody was here from day one. Like, I was literally like, nice guys would ask me out, and I'd see like some guy, clearly like someone who'd put you in your basement, and I'd be like, that's my man. So I'm really happy with everything and kind of excited for the future, whatever happens, and also happy alone as well. You know, it's the way it's like, it's like no matter what happens, I feel really good about it. So yeah, just so you guys know, because sometimes people message you and be like, are you okay, are you okay, and you're like, yeah, I'm grand, fucking the world's on fire, I'm fine, don't worry about me. And I'm excited to kind of share with you guys, you know, how it goes. So that's what I'm gonna do with, I have to do a part two of the solo episode that I haven't recorded yet. I'll probably record it tonight, so it'll probably sound like shite because of my voice, but if you want to sign up to the Patreon, I'll put up like, is this even fucking recording? Yeah, it is. Jesus, fucking 5 minutes of me waffling on. Well, now you're getting a sample of what the solo podcasts are like. But yeah, I'll put up like what my experience has been. So we've been kind of, I guess, broken up like maybe like a month and a half or over a month. The thing is as well, I was checked out for a while, and I don't know if that's like a woman thing or an Irish thing, but I think I'd grieve the relationship in the relationship. And yeah, you know, and the plus, you know, it was all very amical. Why do I keep trying to say that? It's all very friendly. But I will, this part two, I want to post about like, in the solo, just because obviously I don't have time to fucking do here, and I have guests that you guys should hear, but like what it is like already kind of trying to approach dating in your 30s, or trying to change your mindset a bit to like, oh, I'm single, I can flirt, or I can look around, or I can kind of, or you know, what time I want to even allocate to that, or what my experience has been already with, like, you know, I had an experience with someone asking me out, and yeah, just how different my approach was as a woman in her 30s than when I was younger. So I'm excited to share all of that on the solo podcast. So yeah, so if you want to go listen, it's patreon.com/theshiftpodcast, and it's pay what you want. I see sometimes people join as free members, but you can't see anything if you're free. I already give so much fucking free content. So if you want to listen to my more private life, you can fucking spend a euro or a dollar, preferably a bit more, especially now that I'm living in this fucking apartment. Oh my god, I literally have to be on the road just to afford to live in New York City, but whatever, that's grand. I love it and I can't wait. I'll do a video as well, it's nearly done. I'll do a video for you guys to see. I'll put a longer one on the Patreon too, because you know, I usually just post to my stories as I go along, and for everybody who's been replying to my stories being so encouraging, thank you, and so hilarious and so sarcastic, I love it all. But other than that, this episode, fuck me. Sorry, you know. Sorry, Charles. I'm taking over your episode. Fuck me, 7 minutes. Jesus Christ, Kate, you get to the point. So Charles McBee, nostalgia content comedian. One of the funniest comedians in general, by the way. But he also does this content all around nostalgia, which, you know, us millennials love, and Gen Z, you can hear about it and go watch his stuff and be like, wait, but didn't we invent chokers? No, that was the 90s. He's just amazing. In this episode, we do talk about nostalgia, we also talk about dating, online dating, all of that stuff. And then he has a podcast himself that is on his YouTube, I believe, but I'm going to put all the links in the description, so just make sure to follow him on everything and then check out his YouTube as well. But other than that, enjoy this episode, and hopefully I will chat to you over on the solo podcast. Okay, bye.
And it's on. I'll just look at it sometimes just to make sure it's still going.
Trust me, I know the whole, it's what we got to do.
I had a guest once, this was forever ago, but obviously they didn't do, there were younger comics, so they mm-hmm. didn't obviously do a lot of podcasts. And yeah. So every time I would look down, they'd be like, what are you looking at? And I was like,
I have to be an engineer, a host.
Do you need direct contact with this, eye contact for this whole thing?
Lord.
But now it's like, maybe be like, you know, when you have one experience, then like you're over explaining to everybody else.
I had James Madden on and we did at least 30 minutes, no record.
Oh God, it's so stressful.
And I actually, it was funny because
as you said that, I was like, is this recording?
Yeah. So we're video, whatever you call it now. We're recording it visually, but I didn't have the sound on. So it was just bop, 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 no sound. So you see me in the video realize that there's no sound, and he's just going bop, 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 and then I eventually just go like this, and sound's on, and I'm just like, you have no idea what just happened. He's like, what? No, don't tell me that. So that part was caught, which is made for like a funny moment, but like it was like at least 30 minutes of just like.
I know, but you know, it's like, yeah, it happens. Like one time Leland's, when he was recording his podcast, it just, like he had it all set up, but it just didn't save the file.
That too, you have to worry, it's like, is the file this and that? You just don't.
Yeah, it could be just it malfunctions one time, and that's why the studios are good, but it's so expensive.
So expensive.
It's not worth it for me.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So, welcome, Charles McVie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Wait, because I was going through your Instagram, and I know you do all these nostalgia videos. I thought you had a nostalgia podcast, or did I make that up?
No, I do. Okay. I just haven't released it yet.
Oh, amazing.
So, I've been, because I've, like we all have, I don't know if this is your first official podcast or if you've done others leading up to this one, but like, there's that whole, you start a podcast and then you stop, or you start another podcast and then you stop. And so after like starting several and stopping, I wanted to like take everything I learned and then launch this one properly. And, you know, at least better than I did before, where it's just like, just jump in because you're just like trying to get content out. It's like, let me do this right. So I'm like slowly but surely making sure that everything is in order, so that when I do release it, it like, you know, it hits right. And also because there's an actual audience now.
Yeah.
Now I really want it to be right. Whereas before, I was just releasing it like a fart in the wind, just to whoever. And now it's just like, okay, there's people like waiting for it. So let me make sure that it looks right.
When is it coming out?
So we're starting. I've already recorded a couple people. I just want to make sure that I'm able, because like we just were talking about before we started recording here. Because I'm the engineer, the editor, I want to make sure that I have a process that works best for me. That's so I'm not like ripping out the little hairs that I have left out of my head. So probably in a couple weeks, just making sure that like, okay, if I record it this way, cool, I have that down, but I'm going to edit it this way so it makes it better.
So you've got the clips ready to go.
Everything is ready to go, and I know the process so that even when I have other things going on in my life, it doesn't interrupt the process. Is nice and easy. That's my biggest thing now, making it as easy and seamless as possible. That's the long or the short of it.
Yeah, no, this podcast is like, I think like 7 years old.
That's great.
But that means sometimes, and listeners know this, like I might just forget to post for like 3 weeks, and then that's, I'm like, funny. Oh, sorry, I had another sabbatical. But I do want to get to the point one day where I have someone hired to do the, because the editing stresses me out, because sometimes people will be on and it's in the house, so they're really comfortable, which is great. But then I listen back and I'm like, actually, if you don't watch the video of this could be taken out of context. Because sometimes they're just saying things, but they're smiling or whatever. And I'm like, so I'm always just like, I don't know. Some things I'll like go through and cut, because I'm like, we were just in full chat mode. And I know that this could be either taken out of context, or this person probably just forgot they were on a podcast.
You can get hired on SNL and then immediately fired, it'll take 5 years for you to go back and host.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get anybody canceled. So I want it to be a nice, fun, lovely. I'm not trying to. I ask my friends on, so I'm not trying to have their career ruined and then I guess work. Did you watch the SNL?
I did. Well, I didn't watch the whole. I rarely watched the whole show, but I definitely watched the monologue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was rooting for Shane. He did great. It's so funny watching like the blogs that clearly hate him and just be like, he bombed. I'm like, where? Yeah, objectively, he did great.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Such a mad It's a mad world. That's nostalgic.
Yeah.
Okay, so what your podcast is going to be on, is it on nostalgia, like your clips?
Yeah, it's going to be all just, I mean, basically inviting friends on, mostly comics, but like, you know, whoever I would have an interesting chat with. And just going through, just like, remember when, you know, what was your favorite TV show growing up? Who was your favorite characters? What kind of food? What were you doing? Where did you grow up? And what was it like in the 90s, 80s, or early 2000s, whatever? Yeah. Just kind of like, just shooting the shit. Not anything crazy. Just, I feel like, especially nowadays, like where we are in society, it's just like, we just selling fun. Everybody, not everybody, but so many people just want to like remember a time where it was just like not this.
Yeah.
And so it was just like easy peasy.
Yeah, I liked when you said about one of your clips was like when you didn't have 24 hours news cycle or like social media, like ignorance is bliss. And it is true because now we're just like so aware of everything. It's hard to.
Yeah, we're aware of everything and. We're programmed. It's not like organic. It's not even like it's just news all the time. It's just like, no, there's systems in place that are programming us to believe or want whatever side they're on. It's like, it's crazy.
Echo chamber.
Yeah, it's an echo chamber. And then we're on social media. And then whatever the algorithm is just feeding us whatever bullshit that, like, and we're before all of this, it was just like, you know, we had like four white dudes or three or whatever, and they were just like, hey, this is what's going on. It was like, all right, bro, cool.
A girl with nice eyelashes saying the weather.
And they did the weather, and it was like, all right, bet.
Remember the weather? Weather lady was such a big thing in Ireland. There's actually a thing called Reeling in the Weird.
Oh, really?
So we used to have a show called Reeling in the Year. Or I mean, maybe we still have it, but I just live here, so I forget what we have. Yeah. But we have a show called Reeling in the Years, and it would... like say what happened in this year. So like it might be like, oh, I can't remember, like, do they focus on like each year and each month? So maybe it's one episode a year. I can't remember, but it might be like in June 77 this happened, or in June 97 this happened. But it would like reel in the years, like JFK visited here or the Pope visited. But then there is an Instagram account called Reeling in the Weird, and it so did all these like nostalgic weird things that happened. So like funny interviews on like on the news gone wrong, or like weird things that they used to do in Ireland that we thought was like normal, like maybe someone being interviewed and their sheep is on their lap or something. I don't know, but it's really fun. I think you'd get a good kick out of it.
Yeah,
just
definitely.
To see a very specific. But it's true too about the there was something you said about being programmed. Oh yeah, because I always grew up not believing, like, I don't believe any conspiracy theories until like more recently. And it's like I literally put in my Amazon save for later was a solar power charging bank, because I keep getting these, the grid is gonna fall down, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, the grid is gonna,
we're done
after the pandemic. I'll believe anything you tell me, because in the pandemic, you know, we had a pandemic firstly, then there was proof of aliens, then there was
proof of aliens that we didn't give a shit about. That's how crazy
it was. Just, we couldn't take it.
We were like overload.
And now, like, also, I'm learning so much about, like, I always knew about Palestine because one of my best friends is Palestinian. Mm-hmm. So some people, like, you know, if you know people from there, you just end up like educating yourself. Mm-hmm. But like there's so many things that I didn't know that, like, ever since the pandemic I'm learning about, like cobalt mining, or I can't even say that. I had no idea that our phones were like, people were dying from shit like that. Like, I was like, because honestly, like, Apple, if you're listening, like, if you just,
they're always listening.
Yeah, you're listening. So just fucking charge us more and stop fucking killing people and causing civil wars and shit. Like, what
I
are
mean,
you doing?
People are like jumping up. They built nets. You know that, right? Like, because people were killing themselves and like jumping off of buildings, buildings over there, and so they had to build nets around instead of just changing their practices and making them more, you know, workable or living, you know, better for the workers. It's just like, let's put nets around, and so when they jump off, you know, just catch them and then throw their asses back.
Oh, wait, where's that?
This was I don't quote me on where it is, but it's like over in like the sweatshops and shit.
Oh, like
over
Well, I was thinking about the mining as well. Yeah, it's different place. It's like there's just so, like, after the pandemic, which is, it's great that we're learning and getting educated, and like, yeah, like this should not, a globe, like we should be, everybody should be safe. Yeah. We don't need, there shouldn't be capitalism. There shouldn't be like benefit. It should be capitalism if people die for it.
Right. Yeah. It should be at the very, it, just own up to what you say. You're like, everybody yeah. created equal. This is, you know, if there, if it is capitalism, if it is, a, it should be capitalism where the parameters are, everyone is on an equal level playing field,
yeah.
but everybody's not on an equal level playing no. field here. So it makes, it puts capitalism in quotations, because the argument is, well, everybody just pulls themselves up by the bootstraps. Well, if somebody doesn't have fucking boots
yeah.
to start with, it's harder for them to pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
Absolutely. Like, I'm seeing an interview of a woman in the Congo, and she was just like, I just lived off the earth. Like, I was really happy with that. So for them just to come true and take that away from me. Yeah. It's like, she's like, I don't want anything more than to just have the house that I was living in and yeah. had my plants. And you're just like, oh my God, this person was just like asking for the basic thing that was theirs, and you took that away.
They do that here.
I know.
So let some schmuck, some billionaire schmuck want to build a fucking strip mall
yeah.
in a neighborhood or something, and somebody doesn't want to give up their home that they've yeah. been living in for like 50 years or 60 years or whatever the case, but like everyone else has sold their home, they're gonna build that mall right in your living room.
Yeah, you have like the roller coaster going
yeah
over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so true, because they're doing that in Ireland now, where it's kind of like a recolonization, but like so these landlords who don't live in Ireland, like these rich white guys, are buying up estates, and then people can't afford to rent them. And so mm-hmm. then people are turning on each other at home. But actually, it's just these rich guys should not be. If you're like out of the country, you should be not making money and causing people not to be able to buy homes. That's like madness to
Crazy.
Me. But yeah, so I think that's the thing with the 24-hour news cycle. It is great that we're all getting educated, but after the pandemic, it was everything at once.
Yeah.
It's hard to take it in. But I in one way it's good, but in the other way it can be quite overwhelming to like
yeah.
how do you fix it? How do you help? Kind of like nearly paralyzing.
Yeah, there's no solution to it. Yeah. It's just throwing shit at you nonstop. It used to be where you had to, you could you know, we used to have this thing called newspaper. but you could read the paper, or you would watch the evening news, or whatever the case, wherever you got your news source from. And you had to take time to digest it, form an opinion, get a second opinion. But now you're forced to have a stance 2 seconds, nanoseconds after you've consumed the information. You can't even sit and think about it. So it's just like you consume it, and then immediately you're commenting about somebody else who has a different opinion. It's like you haven't even thought about it yet. Like take it in, you know. Maybe by the time you would debate with somebody, it's just like, you know what, I kind of thought about it, or you would agree to disagree. There's no agreeing to disagree. If you agree with what I'm saying, you're a fascist Nazi and you should die. Like, that's just what it is.
I think it's interesting, too, about the agree to disagree. Like, I think when it comes, I understand when people are like, well, I guess it depends on the topic. But I also think, like, why argue with people who are just so far from you're not going to turn them.
Yeah.
You know, and if you feel like, okay, well, I'm more educated in this topic, so I could help people understand that goes more for the people on the fence. I remember my friend telling me she listened to a podcast where it's like, yeah, people on the fence of a thing who don't really know and are happy to listen and be educated, great. But people who are on the totally opposite side, where they're too far gone, and you're just fighting with each other. You're not gonna leave, like, you can't change their mind. Like, maybe, like, you know, I don't know, like, could I change the mind of a 100% Trump supporter who thinks he's God?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, but my take on it is, if someone is a Trump supporter, that's their right to be a fucking Trump supporter. I mean, it's just,
I know,
it's what it is. So I'm not going to, like, burden myself with being...
Who has the time? We're not in the same... You hope that it doesn't... I think the only thing, though, is that sometimes it might affect you. So it's like, okay, well, if Trump does become president, how does it affect affect me, or if Biden does become president again, how does it affect me as like an individual? Neither are good for me as an immigrant.
Right.
You know, Biden likes to say he's Irish Catholic. He's as Irish Catholic as that fucking wall behind us. It's, you know, so it's, I think that's where it comes, where in people maybe project their fears of their own situation and they try to. But yeah, it's exhausting, and it is true. We're all connected now via social media, but you're not face to face, so you can just go fuck you. You're a, you know, I've had people write crazy things to me where I'm like, that's not even how I feel. You just misinterpreted this video.
Yeah,
in which I never thought it could be interpreted that way.
But... or they didn't even interpret it at all.
I've had people message me, and I know that they didn't watch my stuff because they think I'm American.
Ah,
and I'm like, bitch, if you really watched my stuff, you'd hear the accent. So you're just on a, you just saw a hashtag and you're, The nostalgia thing that I really like, because for me, I find this sort of, what's it when, oh, deja vu. For any young listeners, I don't think we have anybody who's Gen Z, but you know, who knows? You guys, Gen Z now, are bringing back things that would have been from my youth that then became like not cool. Yeah. And now they're back cool. Back so cool, yeah. You see it, you feel like deja vu. When I see those chokers, I feel deja vu.
Are they coming back? Oh, yeah,
they came back, the chokers. What else came back that was like, oh, the little butterfly clips, like they're cool now with Gen Z. Whereas they were cool. And like, we used to also wear these tracksuit bottoms that had like buttons all the way up and you'd rip them and then they became not cool. And now they're cool again. But it's so weird how like, we already went through the this is cool, not cool anymore, move past. And now you're coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if I see those pants with the spaghetti. Remember those ones with all the... all this stuff is... So it's kind of like you hit a certain age where it's not new stuff. It's just...
It's reset because you can only do so much that it comes back. I'm starting to see things from my childhood come back and I refuse. Like, I'm not... Y'all can have it, but I'm not going back.
Wait, what was it?
Like, baggy pants are coming back now.
Oh, I saw someone giving out about that. Oh, I think it was Ali Sultan.
Oh, yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah, I'm not like... doing it. I went through my entire junior high school, oversized, baggy jeans.
They're hard to carry, too, I'm sure. Oh, I've never seen those on guys.
It was, I don't know how we did it, but we did it. It was
and
oversized.
The belt around, like the tight belt, but kind of hanging off the arse.
Hanging off the ass, sagging. Yeah, the whole nine. And I'm like, it took me, and I remember when it was getting more towards, everybody was going more towards the tailored fit and more skinny. It was skinny jeans first, but then it was more tailored. And I remember kicking and screaming, letting go of my baggy ass fucking pants and my baggy shirts. And then eventually evolving and being like, you know what? Yeah, this is better. More tailored, more fitted, slim fit. Now you're going back to baggy? Screw you. All right. I'm staying right here. Y'all go ahead. Y'all go ahead with that.
Yeah, I know. I like it for women, though, that the baggy's coming back. Because I have thick thighs and a lot of clothes for a long time in the States when I moved over. Like, it was too skinny on my thighs and rip quickly. So I'm liking this wide leg come back.
Nice wide
but
leg.
But high rise. I like high rise. The fact that they're trying to bring in the fucking... the hipster jeans again? No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, I don't need my vagina hanging out again.
Can't have that again.
There was a teacher, and I was traumatized in biology. No, she wasn't biology. She was, like physics maybe. So everybody in Leaslip, if you listen to this in Leaslip, a specific town in Ireland, they're going to know exactly who I'm talking about. But she would have her pants are so low rise, you could see her pubes.
What? And it was like, this was a teacher?
Yeah, trauma of teenage, like high school.
How old do you think she was at the time?
I don't know, because in my head, when you were that age,
like 80?
30 was 80.
Yeah.
But
I'd
say she was like 40 maybe. Or
just rocking her pubes.
I just think they were just so low, she wouldn't realize, and it would maybe fall down. But I remember just being like, oh my God, horrified. So.
I remember one time I couldn't have been in 6 or 7. And we're like crisscross applesauce. Yeah, I have crisscross applesauce when you're a kid.
Sit down on the
floor.
On the
no, you just sit down on the floor, like cross your legs or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we had this like story time. And I don't remember, she wasn't a regular teacher. I think she was a substitute teacher. But like she was sitting in a chair or whatever. And we were on the floor crisscross applesauce. But I could see you straight up her dress. And I don't remember the story at all, but I was just like, holy shit.
Did you see her vagina?
But here's the thing. So she had on pantyhose, but I didn't know what a fucking vagina looked like for real. So I'm thinking that's what I'm thinking, like, pantyhose vagina was the vagina. So I'm just like, what is going on? Yeah.
I remember when I was small, like, so we have Gaelic football, and it's like the men wear really short shorts.
Yeah.
In this, did you see Normal People? Do you ever see the Paul Mescal memes?
I don't think, maybe.
So he's an Irish actor, but he was in it with these little shorts, and like all American women, because like Irish men have really thick ties as well that play it. So, and then the shorts are so short that American women were like, what is these sexy legged men?
Yeah.
But when I was small, my dad would take me to the games all the time. And I remember one time one of the guys like hurt himself, but the way he was standing, his penis was like hanging out of his shorts. Oh, and it's like God. A vivid, I must have been the first ever penis I've seen. But it's weird now because like I met him recently, just like, this is like, you know what, 25 years later.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to him at a pub and he was so nice. And I remember thinking, I still remember his penis.
I remember your dick, bro. We call those hoochie daddy shorts.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like they look like the ones over here that were big in the 80s that those are like this. It's weird too because there's still like a form of sexism, and I would say it's sexist. So in Gaelic football for women and men, you wear the shorts, but hurling, which is a sport, but the woman's version of it is called camogie, but they have to wear skorts, which is skirts.
Yeah, skirts with the shorts under,
which is just like underneath. Yeah, so a lot of girls. Like once the whistle goes, they'll rip off the skirt part so that they can just wear the shorts because it's fine once, but it's just like a weird rule.
It's like, probably since God knows when, and they just never.
So it's also a Gaelic sport, so it's not some weird, I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird, yeah. Who knows? But anyway, but yeah, there was something else about I wanted to ask you about the.
I did one of the, I did an embarrassing, stupid thing that we probably. A lot of people have done, and as I did it, I was in my head going, are you that guy? Like, what are you? I met somebody from Ireland, and I was just like, oh, Ireland, I know someone who, you know, Katie, but like, why the, I mean, unless maybe they follow your comedy or the podcast, but it was just one of those things where it's just like, why would you say that? Do you know so-and-so? I was just like,
people
so
say
dumb.
Like so silly things to me too about Ireland. Like there was this comic talked to me and he was trying to school me on Ireland, which was so weird because he was basically saying like something about, it was such a silly thing where I had just gotten off doing a taping and it was one of those ones for like a big internet, like young internet thingy. And it was, I had a really fun time, but I was saying, so when I went to the show afterwards and he was like, oh, have you been? And I was just like, yeah, I just did like a taping for like one of those internet things. And I keep thinking like, oh, I hope I don't get canceled for this joke. Because, you know, sometimes if they clip it up wrong or it's taken out of context. And he was like, well, you have to be famous to be canceled. And I was like, you'd be surprised. You don't have to be famous to be canceled anymore.
Yeah.
I go, say Free Palestine online and see what fucking happens. You'll lose your job. And he was like, I don't know. He was just like, I don't agree. And I was just like, okay. And then I was talking about how like, oh, I posted this thing about famine and how if famine is, if there's an option for food to get in, it's not really a famine, it's orchestrated. And then it's a tool for genocide. And so I'd posted this clip about like how Irish history kind of links with today. And I got loads of trouble for that. And I was saying like, I was on Real Ass Podcast and the guys on it were like, oh, I can't do accents, fucking woke culture. I don't know why I just gave them dub accents because they're not from Dublin, but they're like, woke culture, can't do this. Oh, you don't laugh at this, Katie, because you're so woke and you're all liberals, blah, blah, blah. And it was just so funny to me because I'm actually getting in trouble for just talking about current day politics.
Yeah.
And they think that they'll get, I'm like, no one cares about your, you really want to get cancelled?
Yeah.
Like, talk about what's happening in the world right now. But so I said that to him and I was laughing and I was like, some of my friends have been dropped by agents. So anyway, then when we go into the room, he pulls out this, he goes, oh, I was with this famous Irish comic actually when I was touring. And I was like, oh, who is it? So I'm naming all the famous comics because in my head, fame is like, you know, huge. So that's where I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows me the guy. And then I just jokingly went, well, if he's famous,
yeah,
I'm fucking famous,
right?
And so, wait, why did I start this story? Because what was it you were?
Well, I said I know some. I met some.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then he goes, "Well, no, you have to understand. There's only 3 million people in Ireland, which is not true, by the way, which is so funny." But I understood that he was talking about a region of Ireland, and he was like, "So it's really easy to be famous there." And like, I was like, in my head, I was like, "Is he really trying to school me on how fame in Ireland works?"
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, well then, seriously though, in that context, then I am also famous.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, he does theaters. And I was like, well, I do small theaters. I didn't know you were doing you know, this isn't a theater. I'm pointed at like the show that
why
we're
is
on.
He, at this point, he's like coming at you.
I know. And then I was like, yeah, I'm also in my head like, we're on the same show, dude. We're not.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah. And then he was like, well, what theater are you doing next? And I was like, I mean, I'm doing the Den. It's small, but it's still a theater. It's 300 seats. Yeah. And then he was, and I'm just like saying it like that. And he goes, I think you took something I said and you're taking it personally. And I was like, oh no, don't tell me how I feel. I did think we were just bantering.
Yeah.
It might be more likely that you don't get Irish sarcasm because I'm so sick of people telling me how I feel. But I was being, that was like a funny, when he said this guy is famous, I'm like, he's like, I'm fucking Britney Spears.
Yeah, right.
And that guy's brilliant, but I, in the term of fames, but I go, no, I'm just being like, it's just, I'm being sarcastic, I'm just messing too. I was like, don't worry, I don't think I'm famous, nor do I want to be famous. And then he goes, okay, well, I'm gonna bring you up as those theaters. And I go, no, don't, obviously. But then he literally did. He brought me up as, oh, this girl's so sweet, you're gonna love her. She does theaters all around the country. And I was like, as I grabbed it, I just go, you're a fucking dick. And then I was like, hi.
Yeah.
But it was like just that thing of like schooling me on so many levels, but also like, yeah, it's fine. I don't need you to humble me. I'm humble enough. Secondly, don't try to tell me the population of Ireland and be wrong about it, by the way,
that,
and
how
fame works there.
Oh my God. I get it, but I don't get it. Like, I get it from he's a douchebag and he has insecurities and this, that, and the third, but also just from I don't get how somebody can be such, like, there was no reason for that. There was no other than his fucking...
It was so weird because there was another comic there that I talked to about afterwards who was a guy, and it was very validating because he was like, oh yeah, that was all weird and I only heard part of it. But it was interesting to me that like, oh, you got to be famous to be cancelled, but then you took a male Irish comic who I guess someone said like, oh, they're famous back home, and you were like, okay, cool.
Funny
how you were like, and then the next day I was out for lunch with my friend. She was like, oh, by the way, my sister asked for your autograph. And I go, hold a phone, we need to call this guy.
Wait a minute. Yeah
I am famous,
get him on the phone right now.
But yeah, that's the funny thing, like that just made me think about like when you were like, do you know Katie, like people when Ireland, I guess they don't, they whatever they think, like it is a small country, so like also I say like, oh, there's so many of us, but she could have very well that went to school with me.
Yeah, I thought that also. I was like, well, maybe she does, but I do that because I did that another time where I met a girl from Uzbekistan. You know, it's New York, so you meet people from all over the world, and I'm like, oh, I went to college with a girl from Uzbekistan, and I'm just like, she would, maybe she does.
You never know. Yeah, she'll be like, oh, that's so annoying, she's my cousin.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you about nostalgia too, because so like I feel like dating for our generation.
Yeah.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
41.
Whoa, I thought you were so much younger. I'm 23.
Okay. I thought you were so much younger.
I was waiting. I paused for the compliment. Did you see? And I was like, oh my gosh. Irish in Ireland, though, I wonder if the sun will have affected me here. But I feel like they don't age as here as much because I guess there's not as many hormones and it's a cloud. So like,
they don't age as much
here? I feel
here.
Like, well, and I'm only talking about like maybe like specifically white people, but I think white people in the States age more because there's more sun rays.
Okay, yeah.
This is just my theory. In Ireland, you live under a cloud for most of the year, and so wet and rainy, so it's just like, you don't wear sunscreen. It's the perfect environment.
Preserves the skin.
But it could be, I don't know. I always feel like even when I see teenagers here of any race or ethnicity, they always look older than teenagers back home, but that could be like, the tomatoes are the size of your head.
Yeah.
It's not natural. Full of
fertilizer and hormones and God knows
I feel
what.
Like I'll have lost 10 years of my life living here, but it's, you know, crazy. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's like, oh, do you want food with no bullshit in it? Well, just pay several thousand dollars and go to Whole Foods.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
We went to Cheesecake Factory for the first time, and this is a Thea Yacoub's funny moment, so I'm going to make sure to reference her, because if she ever does it as a bit, she should.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is so weird. Why is there a skinny menu and a regular menu? And when she was reading the skinny menu, she was like, I presume if this was in your country, this would, like, if we were in Ireland, like, she'd visit Ireland, this would be just the regular menu. Yeah, yeah. Where it's so funny is here it's the skinny menu.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And the salads were more, they had all the calories on it, and the salads were more calories than the burger. And I was like, that's so weird, because if I were trying to be healthy, I'd pick a salad.
You'd pick a salad naturally.
Or actually, you're probably better off having a fucking burger.
I mean, it depends. By the time you put the dressing, the, you know, the, and here, so I grew up in the Midwest, where like a salad to us growing up meant like, first of all, it's just like, yeah, lettuce, yeah. Now add on like ham, turkey, add on like pile as much shit on top of it as possible. Like, I'm eating healthy.
Wait, where did you go?
Ohio.
Okay, so I went to, no, I guess it was the South. Was it? Where's Kansas?
Kansas is, I guess, South, yeah. I guess.
So I went there and and they just do like a lot of meat. And I don't think I'd ever eaten so much meat in one sitting
that
I got like really bad like diarrhea. And we were on a show and I had to text someone like to go before me, because I was like, I'm still on the fucking loo. I need to go. But yeah, it really fucked with my stomach. But when Imam and Athir came to Ireland, they were like, oh, at one point they were like, we really need to eat some vegetables. And I was like, what are you talking about? We've been eating vegetables all week. And they were like, potatoes and carrots. Like, there's more vegetables than that. But to me, like, potatoes and carrots, I'm like, oh, you got your five a day.
Yeah. No, here is different. It's crazy.
I was going to say with the nostalgia with your age, because our age are going to be the last people that probably remember pre-dating. Like, I remember when dating apps came out.
Yeah, I remember when, like, eHarmony was like,
oh, well, then maybe
like coming out, and it was just like, huh?
When did eHarmony come out?
I mean, it had to be, I don't know, I might be it had to be 90s. It had, because I remember the old dude on the commercial was just like, you having trouble meeting someone? Well, eHarmony, we go through a questionnaire.
I thought that was a Christian thing when I first saw it. Like, I thought,
oh,
it was,
yeah,
because like,
it was so like,
it seemed
wholesome.
Like angel. Yeah. But I guess, like Craigslist would have been on the go, and OkCupid and all those, but when apps became popular, Tinder, that was the one.
Oh, like, Tinder, it changed the game.
I remember when Tinder came to Ireland, and just, it was so mad, because you were so used to just either hooking up, like kissing someone on a night out in Dublin, maybe. But other than that, it was just everybody in your town, you knew everybody, and all of a sudden you just had this app where you could like meet someone from like the other side of the country.
Yeah.
It was so crazy.
Game changer. I'm going to be honest though, like I've never been super huge on dating apps. It's just never been like my thing. I feel like, one, just living in New York City, but also just as a comic, like I just move around. Mm-hmm. You're always out and about, like you're always meeting people. So I just never really been too heavy, super heavy on like dating apps. In my own head, I'm just like, I never want to be like somebody's foodie call or something like that. And just like, what asshole am I going to get to pay for lobster tonight? Like, I like to have like some type of rapport, like, oh, I met this girl, she was real cool. I'm going to see if she wants to blah, 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 prior to that. But yeah, I remember when apps, like, everybody was just like on the apps. It's crazy.
And there's, it was like definitely too much choice. Definitely.
Oh, it's completely changed how we don't even see each other. We're not human beings anymore. No. It's just like, we're just options. Just like, like, nope, maybe. Like, there used to be a time where it's not like settling for somebody in the sense of like a negative way. It's just like, hey, I met this really cool person, and you know what, we're vibing, and this is what it is, and I like them, and blah, blah, blah. Now there's constantly a thought of like, but what else? But what else? But maybe, but what else? What else? What else? What else? And I feel like it wasn't like that before. But
yeah, I feel like once I like remembered that, that's when I got into a good relationship, when I wasn't like, you know, I just don't like we were watching Love is Blind and we were both like the someone was like on it like I just it they need to be like 100% perfect for me to like settle and we were both like we don't think that about each other.
That'd be so unrealistic.
And if we both thought like that we wouldn't be together.
I think love is supposed to be a choice. That's how it's supposed to be, but I think that love is more of an emotion now, and emotions come and go and they go up and down in this way, and a lot of times people make decisions solely based on the emotion. And so they can be super in love with you on Tuesday, and by Thursday it's like you know what, it's just not working for me, because and not because of some nefarious crazy reason like cheated or some crazy, just meh. That's where the ick comes from. The littlest things, because it comes from options. It comes from there's a gajillion people on your phone that you can just keep.
Why should I bother communicate or work through this when I just move on to next? Plus, the next, you're always getting that exciting, bubbly feeling, which people like. I prefer the when you're in it and you're secure feeling.
Yeah.
I don't really like the bubbly feeling because it makes me feel nervous. It gives me diarrhea as well.
Yeah, me too.
It's like eating a big plate of meat.
Yeah, I'd rather be in a secure, healthy relationship where I know that, again, barring any crazy, you know, things that if we get on each other's nerves or if something or just having a date is not going to, I'm not in peril thinking like, well, our relationship's over because we had a tiff or because we had a disagreement or because of whatever.
Yeah.
Now, compared to where it was before, I'd much rather be in a secure, like safe.
Yeah.
Not safe, boring, because a lot of times people think safe just means boring and dull. It's like, no, safe to me is lit.
Yeah.
I would love to be in a secure, healthy relationship. That is the vibe to me, rather than just being in that first 3-month phase where you're just like, yeah, we really like each other. Also, I don't know you. And also, like, I'm just waiting for, like, the new skeleton to come falling out of the closet.
It's also triggering, too, you know, because, like, new relationships sometimes can like pull out some sort of like, you know, like abandonment issue or attachment issue.
Yeah.
That when you're in a nice, secure, healthy, it's so true about it. Like safe or like for me, safe exactly isn't boring, but it's also not like there's not the ups and downs of some of my ex-boyfriends where it was like, is he going to kill me?
Yeah.
But
he loves
me so much.
Tap out of all that shit too.
Yeah.
Because it just gets... It gets to a point where also, like, especially when you've, like, been there, done that, when you're just like, I'm over.
Yeah.
I've had my time. Like, I'm just kind of like, it doesn't give it doesn't make me excited anymore to even be involved in, like, the whole, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The whole phase or just trying to, like, or just
exhausting.
Going out. It's exhausting, yo. It's exhausting.
So you don't do the dating apps at all. So you just like meet people in real life?
Yeah, just meet people in real life.
Yeah, you're just like...
Just out here raw dogging real life.
I know. You're just like, hello, are we staring at each other at the bar?
Yeah. I mean...
What's your move?
My move? I don't really... That's the thing. I don't have like a... You know what my move is? See me on stage, kill. Great icebreaker.
No, it's great. Women love that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so women love it with men, love a funny man. What happened with me and Leland, because he was on stage and he, I don't know if I said this on this podcast, I definitely said this somewhere recently. Oh, I said it on stage. But anyway, he was, he just was like on stage, he was being really, really funny at New York Comedy Club, and he was like, I don't like hooking up, I just want a girlfriend. And I was like, that's all I need to do.
Yeah.
And I sent him a bikini pic. I was like, oh, you weren't following me at the time, you never saw my pictures from Miami. I've only ever put up 2 bikini pics.
I had
to go back and find that, and I was like, wasn't it so nice, Miami, the beach?
He's like, hello.
Yeah, he's like, I think she's flirting with me. Yeah, wait, what was I going to say about... Oh, for women, it can be harder for female comedians because, unfortunately, it's a lot of men who want to do comedy who'll come up to you after and try to hit on you. So then you want to date, and they're like, so how do I do comedy? And you're like...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't sign up to be a mentor.
Yeah.
And you're... No.
Is it also the... Like, guys are either intimidated or feel like... Because... Like, do you find that, like, you being a woman comedian, you're on stage talking about being very vulnerable, talking about sex, talking mm-hmm. about this, talking about that. Do guys like, do they get weird about that type of stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think what is, and it depends too, like, I do think Irish guys, I'm sure they'll be like, that's not true, I'd be totally fine. I'll get a message being like, well, if you break up, I'll be totally fine with you talking about stuff on stage. But in my experience, Irish guys were a little like, but like, what if my mother hears you talking on the podcast? Why is your mother listening to a sex podcast?
Yeah.
So that kind of like, that's always something that's been in small towns back home, like the neighbors are listening or, you know, so... That's just a thing we kind of like try to have to shed. And I feel like I'm sure it's getting better, but that's something. And then other men will have an issue. Yeah, like, oh, well, like, are you going to talk about my dick? And you're like, all right, no. but, I, you know, yeah. And then there's the other men who like when women are shining, some men like the shine.
Yeah.
So they come in to try to take it. But then that, you know, they can be like, kind of like a little abusive with mm-hmm. it or whatever, like try to put you down. Mm-hmm. So something or something, they might try to date you because you're a comic and you're so open and social, but then that'll be the thing that makes them jealous. But
insecure. Yeah.
Insecure.
Yeah.
So it's fucking hard to navigate.
I can imagine. I can empathize.
It was funny too, because my friend, oh, Candy just texted me. Let me read it because I wonder if it's for, did someone, oh, no, it's just, I was like, I wonder if someone was sick for New York.
Oh, Candy?
Yeah.
What up, Candy?
Yeah, she's the best. I was like, because then I was like, I'll go host if someone's sick. I always say, there's times where people, I live so close by as well, so she probably knows them, but I'm always like, yeah.
I'm with it.
Yeah, but what was I going to say?
Dating.
Oh, guys. You know, yeah, even dating like male comics too as well. You have to make sure as a woman... or anybody, and vice versa with comedians, because sometimes it's easier to date comedians because you're on the same schedule, you understand,
yeah, you like, get it,
the spot,
yeah.
But then the jealousy thing, mm-hmm. and I remember I got something really big recently, which is like a huge thing for me. And my friend called me, and he's so funny. He was like, "And does Leland know?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "And is Leland okay?" And I go, "Leland's like, he's not even like he's like featuring right now, and he's really happy with that. He's not like, I should have what she has. He's aware of his. He's so supportive. He's not like, it would be insane for him to be like, bro, I should have that too. Maybe as well too with women, sometimes there's a drive. But I think with some women, there's a drive about kids.
So
I need to get this before 34 and see where I'm at and make that decision. And then with immigrants, for me, it was really like, it was kind of crazy. I came here and I gave up, like I got an internship at MoMA, but I gave that up. So there was this real like thing to prove myself with comedy, like get as quick as possible, or I made this insane decision and I threw away this thing.
I was talking to, I don't think they mind me saying, but I won't say it, but I was talking to other comics about that. Like there's a few comics freezing their eggs now and just plant, like putting that, you know, thing, that's just a reality mm-hmm. that women have to think about. And a lot of comic friends of mine are in that space of just like, feeling like I need to accomplish this or I need to get this before I start thinking about this whole other thing that could slow this down or could be a hurdle, you know, a hurdle. Or it's a lot
so
to think
true.
About.
It's so true. Okay, wait, before we go, I did write down, I'll remember. Okay, so you said, actually I'll check because I just love the nostalgia stuff too. I'm really excited for your
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, so wait. Oh, Red Rover. We had Red Rover too.
Yeah.
But guess what we had? We had IRA.
What is that?
So you'd separate into teams and then you had a letter. So it was teams of three. And then people would beat you up till they got your letter.
Get
your
the
letter
hell
was
out
either
of here.
I or A because of the IRA.
Are you serious?
It was so scary. When we would play, I would just go home and hide in the house because I was terrified. It was, I just saw you talk about how rough Red Rover was.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So wait, so you, they were just like, how, I mean, was it?
I mean, if they even looked at me, I'd be like, and I hope I'm remembering this correctly, but people, you can write in if I'm remembering wrong. And then the other thing you said was, glamour shots? That's so... What is glamour shots?
Okay.
That must be an American thing.
Yeah, I think so. It was definitely started here in America. I don't know how far it crossed over, but like So so in the back in the 90s, there was a place, they were usually in the mall or whatever, but it was a photo photo studio or whatever. And their whole shtick was, you're gonna, because back then it was like Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous. I don't know if you guys got that show back then, but it was like kind of like, you know, these shows where everyone wanted to live like a celebrity, live it. And this was obviously pre social media, so living like a celebrity was such a fantasy, that you unattainable thing, that they would set up these photo studios where, like, you would go in, most primarily women. I never saw guys going, but it would be women. They would just be like, you know, they would dress you up, and it would be feathers, and the filter would be this like gloss, you know, just very like kind of,
oh yeah, like when you go to get your posters printed for a show. Yeah.
It's just like this glossy filter, and it just be this Zsa Zsa Gabor type, you know, big hair, big makeup, crazy makeup. Yeah, just think like kid beauty pageant. You know how those, like, if like a toddler looks like a fucking 30-year-old with all the, but it's just like that type of, like, you know, craziness. And then, but like, it was a craze for a while, because you see a lot of girls going to, and like,
they hand them out. Who do they hand them out to?
It would be like being like in high school, or like sometimes some of them would get their senior photo. It would be like their senior photos or whatever. Yeah, it was a thing.
It was a thing. There's some things here that you guys do in the States that just would never work in Ireland, like holiday cards where you put your own family.
Yeah.
That was crazy to us when we heard, like, when any Irish person hears about it, or they come over here and they see it and they're like, but you take a picture of your family?
So what is it about it? It's just like the fact that somebody would send their family to you and be like, this is
it's a bit mortifying.
I know that our family is so amazing that you want us hanging on your refrigerator.
I think there's a word we use in Ireland is scarlet. So it's like, it means like mortifying, like, you know, I guess it's because like when you go red, it is scarlet to me. That is like hilarious. So embarrassing that you would take a picture and then send it to people and be like, look at us.
Yeah. Is it because you know they're full of shit? Like,
we
know
you are. That they posed, that they took this picture of the whole family. It's just so weird to me. Like, whereas in Ireland, it'll be like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like a robin. And that's kind
of
cute.
Yeah, I'm sending you an actual symbol of Christmas, like a robin or Christmas tree. I'm not sending you a picture of me and my
Maybe it's
family.
Safer here, because in Ireland, you know, you're going to predominantly, unless you know a family that doesn't celebrate Christmas, but predominantly people do celebrate Christmas, so maybe that's where it came from.
It's twofold. Okay, so there's where we pretend for it to be, and then what it really is. What we pretend it to be is, hey, we love you, or I love you. You're like family to me, or family to us, or we're like. So here's a picture, a family picture of us for you, because you're like family to us, or whatnot. It's that type of thing.
Yeah.
What it really is is, like, you know how it's similar to if you go on Instagram over Christmas or over Valentine's Day, it's like, here's us in matching pajamas. Yeah. Don't you idolize us? We're such so an happy. Amazing family. We never fight.
My watch.
Yeah. We never argue. We're just is that type of thing, but only in physical form.
That's so funny, because I think in Ireland you'd prefer if you saw the photo where, like, maybe the dad's passed out from too much booze,
right,
and the mum has the wooden stick.
I would love it more.
That's great.
I would be like, yo, this is y'all are my favorite family.
That's what I like with my relationship. I never post it online, but because my online presence is more like my job.
Yeah.
But also because it's like, yeah, I don't know. It would feel so like, I don't know. It would just feel weird. It's funny how, because I do find like the more you see someone post their happy couples photos, the more I'm like, are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Are you doing okay?
I'm not going to lie. I live for it.
Because you like it
to see it? I do. I feel like, Not that I like others, but like if I'm in that, I wouldn't do it just for any relationship. But if I'm like in,
oh, you like to post?
Oh yeah.
I guess I also as well. I just.
But then when you break up, it's fucking awkward. And then you gotta go delete shit.
Yeah, I think as well for me, it's more just, I guess, sometimes I'm like, I like that. I'm so open with everything that I like that kind of part of my life a little private. Yeah, but I do love when I see people post and they're happy and it's like a couple. But yeah, sometimes you're like, when it's the whole thing and they're like, yeah, you're...
It's just over. It's so over.
Or they've told you, they've been like, oh yeah, we're fighting all the time.
And, and then you're like, what the fuck is this?
Lady, who's this for? Okay, where can people follow you and hopefully listen to your...
All the stuff. So the working title right now is Club Retro for the podcast.
Yeah.
So look out for Club Retro on all the stuff. But yeah, mostly just on Instagram. I'm also on TikTok, which is a whole thing I'm figuring out of just like, oh, my fans on TikTok like this. My fans on Instagram like this. Whatever. So now I'm just posting everything on everything. But it's at Charles McBee. Just my name. Type in my name. Tick, tick, tick. There it is.
Great. And I'll put everything in the description. And I don't know when this is going to come out. Maybe I'll coordinate with when you release yours so that they can directly go to it.
Awesome.
For me, so whenever that comes out, just check my Linktree for tour dates. But yeah, and then if you're in Ireland, there'll be an Ireland tour in July. We're talking to people about that. So
boom.
That's really it. Great review. Love you all. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.